But I grew up on a horse ranch in southern Minnesota, and we raised Western Pleasure show horses, which is equally as boring as it sounds, okay? If there's anything about horses that I'm not a fan of, it's pleasure showing. Because what pleasure showing is the slowest moving thing you can imagine a horse doing. If they walk, they walk as slowly as they can. If they trot, they trot as fast as a normal horse walks. And if they lope, they're supposed to lope slower than they trot. It is boring, okay? But we had some really good horses. And we had one horse that they were really, really proud of. And they really, really liked. And then the horse started to develop issues. Hip issues that my parents didn't know anything about were coming. They were hoping to sell this horse for a small fortune, I imagine. I was little, so everything was a small fortune. But they were going to sell this horse for a profit, and then the horse started to have problems. And as they got back into the genetics of it and talked to some people who maybe knew more than they knew, that person said, or their vet actually said, "Was your horse sired by Winchester?" Not the gun company, the horse. And they said, "Yeah." And they said, "That horse has this problem," but they don't tell you. So my parents paid, I'm sure, a lot of money to breed to this really well-known, really expensive horse to get a really good horse. And what they ended up with was a bad horse. Because the owners of this really good horse didn't feel the need to tell them what was going on for real. Sort of on the funny end of the spectrum, you've been in conversations where you're talking with somebody and then they say, "Honestly though," and inside I want to say the rest wasn't. "You've been lying to me this whole time that you have to tell me that now you're being honest with what you're going to say?" All of that to say that we have a problem with honesty. Our problem with honesty is that we don't like it. We don't like honesty when it doesn't serve our benefit. So we all, as broken people, have an innate temptation, an innate tendency, a bent towards bending things to make them most beneficial to us. Whether it's in what we say or in what we do or how we present ourselves. We put ourselves forth. We live in an age of social media, right? And social media is like one giant lie of your life. I'm going to pretend like this small segment of me is all of me, right? That's what we do. Last week, we were in James chapter 5. We were supposed to go from verses 7 through 12, but we ended at 11. I don't know if you caught that. I know at least one person did. They mentioned it to me. I was wondering why we didn't talk about that. Yes, we're going to do that this week. 12 seems disjointed almost from 7 through 11. It's not really, but it seems almost disjointed. And it's about honesty. And it's mostly a quote from Jesus. James chapter 5, we'll start in 7 to see where it goes, and we'll jump into 12. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." And now we stand and we look at these verses, knowing and coming to it with a reality that says honesty is not our preference when it's not helpful. This comes out of, like we said, a quote from Jesus out of Matthew chapter 5, and it's about oaths. Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to jump to it because it's important to hear the context that Jesus was speaking in, that James now is taking from him. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, and before we even move on, there's a key word in there we've got to catch, and it's again. Reiterating, restating, going forward with an idea that was already there, and that idea is you have heard one thing, what you've bought into, but I'm going to take the truth of that deeper. You've heard that it was said that you shouldn't commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you you shouldn't even look at a woman lustfully. You've heard it said that you shouldn't murder, but I'm going to tell you that you shouldn't even be angry with those around you because hatred is the same in God's eyes as murder. So now again, along that same vein, going deeper than what you knew before, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. That's true. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. This is before hair dye. Now you should simply say yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the devil. And now James takes it and says, above all, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so you may not fall under condemnation. What's the point of all of that? The point is pinky promises. The point is, when we grew up, we used to take our fingers and cross them or cross something else and say, I don't have to keep that promise. I crossed my fingers. As though that mattered. As adults, we don't do that because we don't want to cross our fingers. So we just say in our heads, I don't really mean this one. I'm going to tell you something. I don't really mean it. I only sort of mean it. And I didn't tell you I swear or I promise. I didn't say some of these like code words that you should know. But that's not what God wants from us. He wants from us a level of honesty that is simply, I tell you, yes, that is true. And you say, okay, then it's true. Not that you couldn't be mistaken. But everything that you know of to be true, you say, yes, I know that to be true. I had to go to the IRS or the Social Security place. If you ever have to go to the Social Security office, it's creepy. They don't let you have your cell phone. They like interrogate you about guns and knives. It's weird. But I go there because we need a number for Noah. And I get up there and I start answering all these questions to this guy. And all I need is a Social Security number for my little boy, right? And he has to ask me three times. Now, you know that anything you say could be used against you as perjury. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. So then he reads this big, long thing. I'm like, can I just summarize that? He's like, please do. Don't lie. It's bad. He said, yes, that's what it says. Okay, I will tell you the truth. But three times, under the most mundane thing you could be doing, I had to promise that I wasn't lying. Because apparently once isn't enough. Twice isn't enough. But a third time was. And I'm not making fun of them for that. I'm saying as a culture, that's the level to which we take honesty. That they feel that they have to ask me three times if I lied before they start to believe me, or at least start to believe that I know that I shouldn't have lied. That's our culture. Lying is so deeply ingrained in us, but it's not always lying. Like, I'm going to tell you something that's totally not true. A lot of times our lies, especially our lies, as we stand in the body of Christ, our lies are just lies where we bend things a little bit. We don't tell you something totally, wholly false, but we tell you something that makes me look better or maybe makes somebody else look worse, but it's not totally true, but I could slant it toward this way a little bit and I could sort of paint this picture of this person for you or this picture of this scenario for you, and I could sort of build into this and make you buy what I want you to buy. But that's not honesty. honesty is a hard master. It is a really hard master because honesty doesn't allow you any grace to not be honest. You ever realize that? I was talking with somebody just here recently, and this person was being totally honest with me, but did not want to tell their spouse something. And they had just been saying that they were going to live honest. And then they said, no, I'm not going to tell my spouse about this. That would not go well. And I looked at them and I said, really? And they said, yeah, that's not honest, is it? No, it's not honest. Honesty demands honesty. It doesn't demand hiding what's convenient. It demands honesty. Now, it also doesn't demand, just so we're all clear, it does not demand that you say everything you think. Because sometimes that's what we do. We say, oh, I don't like this, so I'm going to tell you. You know what? You don't need to say that. That's just mean. That's not helpful. But when you have the opportunity to be truthful about something, somebody asks you a question, somebody has you describe something, you've got to do it in what's honest, not what's beneficial. Now, if we reverse back to this Sermon on the Mount bit, Jesus says that you shouldn't swear by heaven or by earth or by the city of Jerusalem or by your head. And it's this weird sort of stepping stones, okay? See, what would go on, which builds into this context, is that those were their known different levels of honesty. Swearing by your head was relatively honest. Swearing by the city of Jerusalem, more honest. By heaven, even more honest. But by the throne of God, the most honest. And Jesus says, no, do not have this hierarchical system of lying, which we call truth-telling. Do not have a hierarchical system of lying. Just be honest. Say yes or no. Now, obviously, that's in the case of a question being yes or no to answer, right? Maybe is sometimes an answer. I frequently sit down with people. In fact, Allison and I were sitting with somebody just the other day, and I looked at them and I said, I'm going to ask you any question I want. And the only expectation that I have is that you are honest with me. Your answer could be, I don't know, or I don't want to tell you. Those are honest answers. But telling me a lie in this moment is of no value to anybody. But frequently, we don't want to say to somebody, you know what? I don't want to tell you what's going on. So instead, we make up this sort of half-truth. Partial truth, most truth. Do you know what a partial truth or a most truth or a half-truth is? It's a lie. That's what it is. We've renamed it to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, but it's a lie. And this does not allow it. This allows for you to sit down with somebody, especially in the context of interpersonal relationships, and be able to look at that person and say, yes, this is true. No, this is not true. Yes, I will tell you this. No, I will not tell you that. Yes, the answer is yes. No, the answer is no. Or, you know what? I don't want to tell you. Because there are things about your life or about mine that we should be able to keep private from people. So just because you ask me a question does not mean I will give you an answer that you want. But it should mean, and I promise, as best as I can, I fail at times, but I try my best to be honest with everybody, which is why sometimes I don't tell you everything. I tell you whatever's necessary to be told, right? Now, that sounds like I just perjured myself, at least a little bit. At least it feels a little bit like I did. But you know what? There are sometimes things that you know about the world or scenarios that are not helpful to tell to me. You can keep those to yourself. There are sometimes details to things that happen that I try to relate to Allison. Here's what went on, and I don't tell her everything because not all of it is beneficial to tell her. That doesn't mean I'm lying to her. It means that I'm intentionally not saying everything that could be said. But she knows that whatever comes from me in that moment is me being honest with her. you can know that whatever comes from my mouth when we're talking, I am doing my best to be honest with you. So why do we lie? You ever asked yourself that question? Why do we lie? Why do we shade the truth? Why do we twist things, manipulate things? Why do we do that? The answer is really simple. We're really weak. We're really scared. We're really unable to handle. Maybe this person isn't going to view me as well. Maybe it's going to hurt if I say the truth here. And so I'm going to twist it, thinking to myself that I'm strong and I'm able to do this, but really it's because we're weak. It's because in that moment we care more about that person than we do about Jesus. That's a hard reality. Every time we want to tell a lie, every time we want to twist the truth, every time we want to manipulate circumstances so that we look better, we're doing it because we care more about us or that other person than Jesus. And that's not right. Now, there's three different ways in which we can be honest. We can be honest in what we say. We can be honest in what we do. And we can be honest in how we present ourselves. And we have to be honest in all of those. In what we say, this is while people are talking or texting or emailing or whatever it is. What you say has to be true. Like I said, there are times where you're going to say, I'm going to omit certain facts because they're not beneficial to the conversation. But what I tell you will be true. And that means this. If you're going to choose to omit something in that, that thing had better not change the outcome of what the other person is going to be thinking. Right? You tell somebody, yeah, I showed up at this guy's house and he's, you know, this is a friend of mine. He started yelling at me, right? Well, it turns out I drove my car into his living room. If I skip telling you that detail, that's not me just not telling you something. That's me twisting the scenario to look better for me, right? So be very careful. If you choose to not state something, be very careful that that thing isn't done to make you look better. If you choose to not say something, it's because it will make somebody else look worse by telling what it is that you would say, not because it would do anything to you. But in what you say, you must be honest. So that when you go to somebody, you could say, yes, I will do that. And they say, you know what? I believe that. Yes, that happened. You know what? I believe that. Or better yet, somebody comes to you and says, did you do this? And you say, no, I didn't. And they say, totally believe it. You ever been in that scenario? I hope you haven't, but you probably have. Somebody comes to you and asks you if you did X, whatever that was. Did you do that thing? And you say, no. And they say, I don't believe it. What do you do at that point? If you're telling the truth that you didn't do that and they won't believe it, you're stuck. But you know what it tells you, like it or not? It tells you that they don't believe you in general. Because if they believed you and trusted you in general, they would believe you and trust you in that moment. So one of the things you have to do in that moment, and I've had to do in that moment, is say to myself, what did I do to cause you to not trust me? There must be something. Or conversely, you're in that situation. Somebody comes to you and says, did you do this? And you say, no. And they say, okay. When somebody comes to you and believes you enough, when you say, no, I didn't do that stupid thing that you were told that I did, they say, okay, I'm glad. And then it's done. That's a person who does trust you. That's a person who says, your word is honest versus your word is suspect. But truth be told, most of the time we view people's words as suspect, not honest. And that's because as broken people, we lie. We shade the truth. We twist things around. You also have to be honest in what you do. You're told to accomplish a task. You accomplish the task. I know lots of scenarios and instances growing up where I was told to do something and I knew I would not be found out if I only did part of it. So I did the part that would be seen and then the other part was not touched. I got caught sometimes doing that. Most of the time I didn't. But I knew in my heart in that moment that I was not being true to what was being asked of me. Kids, this is particularly to you, not just my kids, every kid's. Your parents ask you to clean something while they're gone, okay? And they show up, and it's not done, but it's partway done, and you say, I was working on it. I was trying. No, if you only worked on it when you heard the door open, do not say, I was working on that while you were gone. You were not. You were watching the TV or playing a game, and then in the last moment when you were afraid you were going to get caught, you tried to shove everything under the couch. Okay? That's not honest. But as adults, we do that just in different ways. We pretend like we're working hard. We pretend like we're doing these things when really we're not. But nobody knows because nobody's there. Be honest in what you do. And when you tell somebody what you did, business owners, when you tell somebody what you used, I know it might seem simple to state that you used some level of something so that you get paid for some level of something, but really you used a lower quality something in that moment. That's lying. It really is. I had a friend whose boss put the purchase of golf clubs on a contracting expense for this engineering company that he worked for. And my friend knew it, but this was his boss, and he wasn't allowed to say anything about it. And he didn't know what to do, but he lost total respect for his boss. Nobody ever found out, as far as I know. He got new golf clubs. The customer paid for it while they were building their skyscraper or whatever they were building. Such a small expense in the midst of this giant expense that nobody noticed. You know what? You can get away with that. At least while you live on earth. But remember that part where it says, behold, the judge is standing at the door? That's the tie-in in this verse to the verses before. The judge isn't standing there, remember, to be a judge to judge you, but he's listening. He hears you. He sees you. And when you're not honest, he knows. Because he's standing right there, watching everything you do. You have to be honest in what you say. You have to be honest in what you do. And you have to be honest in how you present yourself. Millennials, 40 and down, whatever age group you want to pin this on. But really, as social media has grown, it becomes almost all of us. Do not present yourself as some awesome hero of the faith or of people in your online presence so that people say, wow, that guy's really cool, but not have that match who you are. That's dishonest. It's a new version of lying. Pretending you are one thing when you're not. But nobody knows it because all they see is your online presence on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or whatever else you use. You can make yourself be whatever you want, but if that's not you, then stop. Which, if we're honest, means most social media stuff would go away. Because people say what they are and what they do, trying to only show you this really cool, really creative, really fun, really neat person, when that's not who they are. It's hurtful on a deep level to me as a friend when I see the online presence of somebody and then walk into a counseling room with them and they tell me that their life is in shambles. But nobody would know it. part of the reason that we're so isolated is we make this pretense of who we are when it's not true, not even close to true. And then we wonder why, when we're not online, we feel alone. That's because if you ever let somebody see your real life, and they've only seen your online life, they'll know you lied. So you hide your real self from people to pretend you are this online person. And in pretense, it is not who you are, but you pretend it and you present it to people. Those are all lies. The Bible does not say, James does not say, be honest on convenience. He doesn't say, be honest when it's beneficial. He says, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Jesus says, don't swear on anything else. You don't need to. On a personal level, you do not need to, unless you are not trustworthy. And in which case, you might have to. That's why our country, I look around, I see lawyers, right? They make people have to swear in before they do things. And lawyers write all this contracting stuff so that you can't get out of your word. I'm not saying we should do away with lawyers in this moment. Other moments I might, more on a personal level, it'll come out. But if we simply were people who were honest, if as people we weren't liars, we wouldn't need lawyers, at least not by and large. Because when you tell somebody you'll do something, you'll do it. Instead, the exception is that when you tell somebody something that you'll do, you do it. And that's how we live. Our country lives on lies. Not intentionally, I don't think. Not overtly. But in principle, we live on doing as little of what we say we will do as we can get away with doing. But that's not the loophole that's given. The loophole given is if you say yes, mean yes. If you say no, mean no. End of story. No loophole to be found. Be honest. Always honest. And show people that they don't need you to have sworn on something greater. That they can trust you for who you are. That is honoring to Jesus. Honesty on a whole different level. Yet held together in graciousness. Not speaking badly about the people around us. Just think of the context we are in James. Not speaking badly about those people, not degrading them, not deriding them, simply being honest. And in your honesty, caring for people. Be honest in what you say. Be honest in what you do. Be honest in how you present yourself. That's the demand of Scripture. Let's pray. God, we come to you knowing that the truth always prevails. Knowing that honesty is what you demand of us. Honesty is what you ask of us. And we struggle. Father, I pray that you help us as people to be totally, completely honest to each other about life. Honest in our interactions. Honest in what we do. Honest in what we say. Honest in how we present ourselves. God, we ask that you would be standing at the door, as this passage says, and that you would be pleased with us as people, that you would recognize and see our honesty, and that we would grow in you because of it. Father, we thank you for your immense love for us. We thank you for your Son having died for us. The grace that you give to us unworthy people. And it is in the amazing and holy name of your Son we pray. Amen.